Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello, Amber. It's TV Shorty Jones here. Now, I've already been on the BBC Primetime Drama, but I really need some lessons about how to step up to a Hollywood level, and you're the person to do it. So, and you're wondering if I can do a few one-on-one lessons. What do you think? See you later, and love you lots.
Deleted.
Hello, and welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
A podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Mother.
Yes, darling.
Welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
Thank you very much, my darling.
This is the last episode in the series.
This is a big deal, this episode. This is the final episode of season one of Daddy Look At Me. And we thought we had to do something special.
Yeah, we had to do something big. And
my God, did we go big?
Oh my!
The woman who needs no introduction, the Anne Bauer School of Drama itself. It's Anne Bauer!
Yay!
Anne Bauer, how excited are you to be here and talk about your attention issues?
Well, I'm very excited, but I am quite a retiring sort of person.
Bullshit! Are you serious? Oh, wait, this is my fear, that you'd come on this and you'd play up the whole, like, I'm just a mum and I'm from Hampshire and I'm so cute. And then all of a sudden you're just sort of like, so anyway, in 1914 I was on the Titanic on the top deck. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be, you can't play the cutesy role right now.
Be your true self.
I'll be my true self, Helen. Yes, and Rosie. Yeah.
Don't do a voice like we're forcing you either.
No.
Now, tell us, Mother.
Yes.
Were you an attention-seeking child?
I think I must have been.
Yes.
Yes.
Por example.
Is that
right? Par example?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I crushed it.
Well, you know, I had to go to church.
Yes.
I can remember.
You made me go to church for 4 years.
Well, I know I did.
It's not about you.
I'm going to find this episode so difficult to interview on. Right, I'm going to shut my whore mouth, Mother, please.
Well, so I was given the Bible to do my sight readings with.
Great.
And I can remember pretending to faint because I was just like, you know, needed a bit of attention after I'd done it.
Yes. How old were you? Oh, yeah.
10, 11, 12, 13, it carried on.
Yeah, no, just every single year. Do you know that I did that once at Livy Cornwall's birthday party? I fell over, and instead of admitting that I fell over because it was too embarrassing, I was like, I think I passed out. Just to try and get out of it.
Well, you can do that deep breathing thing, can't you? That makes your whole body suddenly go, what?
And
yes, you can make yourself.
Shall we do that now?
I wouldn't do it now because everything goes sort of like heavy and stiff and then you faint.
Oh my God. Good to know. I've wasted my entire life.
I'm doing that next time I want to get out of a gig.
Or when you want attention and you want someone to catch you.
Yes.
That's another time to do it. When there's like someone beautiful around and you're like, I'm going to faint and they're going to catch me.
Yeah.
But knowing fully well, I'm 6'1", I weigh quite a lot. The chance of them catching me is low.
But last time I fainted, no one caught me.
But no one's going to believe you because you throw yourself on the floor so many times to try and get people to be like, oh my God, TV's Rosie Jones is on the floor.
Yeah.
No, it's unbelievable.
And the boy you cried, help her falling out.
You really are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your raison d'etre.
Yeah.
I'm super French today.
It's what I do.
Well, apparently not as well as my mother. So you pretended to faint for attention.
So did you have brothers and sisters?
I've got one brother and one sister.
Where do you come?
I'm the eldest. I'm on top.
Oh,
top of the pile.
Really?
Yeah. I'd love to interview them and ask their thoughts on that.
Yes.
But I think siblings is just the ultimate. That's the beginning of attention seeking for everyone. Because you're fighting between the three of you for attention.
Yeah.
Like, I personally wasn't. I know you raised me with my two siblings. And, like, I was just such an easygoing, lovable kid.
Was she?
Well, if you put volume, persistence and nudity into it, yes, she was, apart from that.
Oh, my
God. I don't think nudity is part of that.
Yeah,
I was just in touch with my body.
Yeah, haven't changed.
I still do get my tits out.
She gets her nipple out nearly every episode.
Jack doesn't like it. He always turns away.
Yeah. Well, she learnt from a very young age. I can tell you.
So, can you remember moments in Helen's life when she craved that attention?
Well, it started very early. I used to put her in a cot for a nap.
Yeah.
And she'd scream and cry and take all her clothes off, including her nappy.
Yeah.
Throw it all out of the cot. Then pull the sheets and the pillows off, and that would go on for an hour.
Yes.
Most children have naps.
But didn't it work?
It worked.
Get picked up!
And then I went to pick her brother up from school.
Yeah.
And at school, she took all her clothes off and ran around the playground.
I remember this. No, I don't remember. I remember being told it. I walked home naked or something.
You walked home naked.
How old was she?
4, 5.
Cute.
She was thoroughly enjoying it. And Fleet is a place where you don't do that. So a lot of the parents were looking at me as if I had no control, which I didn't.
So good.
But this is walking down a main road at school one time in a suburb, fully naked child, just parading, which I think is liberating.
Yeah.
Well, you clearly did, yes.
Look at me. Look at my wonder. It's cute.
I think it's so cute.
And I still didn't feel I was getting enough attention.
Yeah.
That's what we need to figure out what went wrong there. Cue the opening of the Anne Bauer School of Drama.
So when did you open the Anne Bauer School of Drama?
Well, I started to earn a little bit of money. I think I wanted to buy a microwave.
It was something like
it
that.
It was as simple as that.
Microwave.
A microwave. And my ex-husband, I don't think, was very keen on tools of the trade that.
We were banned from having a toaster in the house because...
Why?
Well, no, that was you. You thought we were cursed or something with toasters. Was
that
him?
No, that was him. No, he didn't like... He liked a knife. That was it. You know, he didn't like machines. So...
But you can't make toast.
We had a grill. We had a flame.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a flame and a grill, and we'd put it under there and have to take it out and flip it.
Had to fight for the dishwasher, and then he loved it.
Yeah,
he did.
No one else was allowed to touch the dishwasher.
No, if I put dishes in the dishwasher, he'd swap them all around, get them in the right order.
But we didn't have a microwave, and you were like, I'm going to get a microwave for the family.
Yeah. And then, so I started with this one class, and then it kind of ballooned, didn't it, Helen?
I remember it starting when I was very young. I was like 6 years old. And I remember going into school and being like, my mum runs a drama school and you should join. Because like, I was, when did I start taking lessons?
You were four. You were four.
Good Lord.
And what?
And I had to pay.
What kind of things did you teach?
We did everything, didn't we, Helen? We did improvisation. We did
poetry, choral speaking,
acting.
I remember improv being a main part of it.
Yeah, every lesson.
Learning how to breathe.
Yeah.
That was the main thing. We stood in a circle and all had to, like, learn to breathe together.
That was good for you. It was good for you.
Yeah, then I started chain smoking and you were like, bloody hell. That was years of tuition under the train.
So were you a teacher before?
Yeah, well, I started life as a dance and drama teacher.
This is my question mark. I feel personally that you were winging it. You were a PE teacher for like a week as well.
Well, I was forced to, because the dance teaching was in the first school I taught at was put into the PE department.
Oh.
So they made me teach trampolining as well. I had to go on a trampolining course. And on the basis that I have no head for heights, it wasn't the best move.
Every time you jumped up, just like, fuck it!
It was a bit like
kids
that.
Kids fucking hell! And then you were like, my daughter is built for the stage.
Well, you did, really. You were.
No, bullshit.
Yeah. You loved it, Helen.
Oh, I loved it. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But I don't think I was necessarily built for it. I think I was too loud and didn't have a... Don't say no like that. We would have to do... But for me, my main memory of the Anne Bauer School of Drama early days is we were given a title and we would have to go make up a play.
Yeah.
And then we'd come back and perform it, right?
Yeah.
And
so we were in groups. What title?
So like A Day at the Zoo or like... No, but no, right?
Yeah, you were.
Or like... Yeah. And a big day out or someone's birthday.
Or a surprise letter.
A surprise letter. Oh, shit like that, right? Kids drama stuff. Yeah. And then we would have to create a scene and then we'd go back in. And all I remember is just always assuming that I was in charge of the group.
Well, you were, darling. You always were.
Yeah. Thank you. Because you know what? The other six-year-olds did not have the focus or the grasp of character that I did. So we would go into our group and I would be like, right, this is our storyline. This is your role. This is your role. I'll be the lead.
That is so great. Yes.
No, it's not. Because then I'm the drama teacher's kid who's also like, don't worry, bitches. I've got this.
What I meant, you were destined for stardom.
Or I was destined to be an absolute dickhead. Like, that's the thing.
No.
I did have to explain to her every so often that I couldn't give her the lead part in everything we did because she was my daughter.
I never had the lead part. Never.
Never.
No, because then I got to the age when I realised it would look awful if I did, so I begged not to. Did I do that?
Well, I think we reached an agreement that it was probably sensible. But... You did lots of good stuff.
Thank you, Mother.
Yeah.
Any performance of mine in particular that you remember?
I remember you doing the French Queen in Henry V and enjoying all the mucky words when you were about 14.
Do not remember that.
Oh, I've got a lovely photo of you doing it. I can remember you doing Greek tragedy splendidly.
Thank you.
You bring such a cracking Helena Troy.
Did I do Helen of Troy?
No, I think you did Cassandra, didn't you?
I don't remember.
I think you did. Yeah, well, you got your grade 8. You did really well, Helen.
This is the thing. I stuck. Thank you very much. Thank you, Anne Bauer. I was in the drama school for like my entire life at home. And I did it all the way to grade 8. And I was also one of the festival kids. Ooh. Like, we would go around Dance Mum style to different festivals in the spring each year. And we'd perform and get marked and then you'd win prizes. And it was like everything.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it most of the time.
So I love that. Good. You enjoyed it, didn't you, Helen, most of the time?
Well, it's despair you loved here. It. I'm desperate for you to say you enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Good, good.
So
I loved it.
Did.
I feel if I say I didn't like it, this will be a whole different podcast.
I might cry.
Don't. This is the thing. If I say anything, then you get emotional, then I'll get emotional. Do you remember when you drove me to Basingstoke? A couple months ago, we were listening to Both Sides Now, and it was both of us like Emma Thompson in Love Actually, and I was like, I can't fucking handle this. Yeah. It's too much for me. It's too real.
But it's real. You're gonna touch base.
Okay.
My base.
I liked the Anne Bauer School of Drama.
Good.
I liked doing all the festivals. I struggled when I didn't win.
Yes.
And so did you.
And sometimes it wasn't fair that you didn't win, and sometimes it was fair that you didn't win.
When was it fair that I didn't win?
Well, there was a time when we went to Bristol, and you did a duo.
Bristol is Edward Massa Festival for the UK. I was usually quite good at it.
Duo with Sophia, and you completely messed up your lines, and you started giggling on stage, the pair of you.
And we didn't win.
Didn't win. Well, of course you didn't.
Fucking hell, but as my mother and my teacher, did you fight for me?
Well, no, because you didn't deserve to win. You'd already won with it at Woodley, so why are you worried?
That's it, you take the same piece around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Get all the trains.
You wanted to go to Bristol. Oh, Helen. No, I did want to go to Bristol, but I think I should have won everything. I remember not winning when I was about 8 years old with a poem about a pony.
Oh, yes, Abigail.
And I cried in the car to Dad.
But he was angry that you didn't win.
He was angry, but I thought he was just angry with me being like a seven-year-old who was like, and I said the poem really fucking well, and I practiced it.
Did you deserve to win that time?
It's hard for me to judge that because I always think I deserve to win. Yeah. I'm one of life's winners.
So was Helen. Funny, was she a funny child?
All the time.
Was I?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you were.
I don't remember. I don't know if I was funny or not.
Well, you were. You were exceptionally bossy. I can remember little things that were very funny that you said sometimes in complete innocence.
Oh.
Like when you had your sex education in year six and came running home. Mummy, mummy, fancy you doing that three times.
And now as an adult, I know that you've had a lot more rides than three.
Yeah. I am when my mum had sex education, she came back and said to her mum, my nana, she said, I know what my front bum is called. And then they were, oh, okay, what's it called? And she went, my penis. And I said, no, you got it wrong.
What's weird to me is how interested I was in sex education, seeing as you gave it to me when I was four. Because I started masturbating when I was four, I discovered my clit. But that's how kids all discover it. Ask your mum. I guarantee you were rubbing yourself at four.
No
fucking way you weren't.
No.
Every kid does.
I told her what.
Shut up! You were totally masturbating.
No. Well, remember, Helen was into nudity, so I saw it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dad's dad was into nudity as well, so it's a family thing, and that's not on me. Yes.
This is true. This is true. But the other thing was you were very enthusiastic, Helen. So you were given the plant watering job at junior school.
And what's that got to do with my masturbation?
Oh, no, I'm off the subject.
Yeah, you seem very enthusiastic. It makes it sound like I was an absolute freak wanker. 4 years old, like, get the porn out, get the porn. Quickly, mum, it's school nearly.
I was thinking, did she insert the watering job?
Let's water the plants and my clitoris. But when I was four, you saw me masturbating, and I found out from your sister.
How?
Because I was doing it in public.
In front of everyone.
Well, yeah, because my mother didn't say, oh, don't do that, that's unhygienic. What did you tell me?
Told you to wash your hands.
And I was, I got told it was, also you told me it was called rubbing my clitoris.
Yes. Well, that's sensible, isn't it?
It's just, it's a lot of advice for a four-year-old.
I thought you did it on table.
Yeah, so when I was 11, I started wanking again.
God, I didn't know that.
Okay, maybe you didn't, actually.
No, I didn't.
So when I was 11, I discovered masturbation properly.
Yeah.
And I would, like, rest my vagina on the corner of tables at school, but, like, the science class ones, because they were my height. And I tried to get, like, Anna Grant, Emma Black, Livy Cornwell, like, all the girls to do it as well. And they were like, we don't even know what you're talking about. And then it turned out when we were 18, they were like, we did know, we just didn't want to admit it. So I was left for 3 years at school being like, she's the wanking kid. Because by the time I was 13, I was like going up to people like, you know, it's quicker when you hold your breath. Like, I was so smart and
you
advanced.
You told me that as well.
No, it's quicker when I hold my breath.
It was giving me information about how to masturbate better. Yes. Yes.
So you didn't know.
I was trying to create a mother-daughter bond.
Yeah, I know.
How did you find that out?
I had a lot of time of exploration in my room.
I mean, this is only a few years ago she told me that.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, that's all right then.
Oh, fine.
That's all right then.
I thought it was a 4-year-old.
That's what I was worried about when you said that as well. Like, I was 5 years old coming home in my summer dress. Like, mother, have you tried holding your breath when you're rubbing a cunt? Trust me, you'll come so much faster. Like, it's just too much. Do you have a memory of something I did in particular that was particularly attention-seeking? Like, was I attention-seeking against my siblings?
Oh, yes. Well, you had to be, because they're quite noisy as well, aren't they, really?
They both in the Empower School of Drama as well.
They were, but they didn't last for as long.
They lasted a couple of years. I was long haul.
Hardcore.
Because I did a couple of lessons a week. Like, it wasn't just one a week.
You did three at one point,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, three classes a week.
Yeah.
And then weekends at festivals in the
weekends
spring.
Weekends at festivals, yeah.
Oh, my
It was all-inclusive training.
Yeah, but it wasn't just then.
Yeah.
It was school as well. Mm-hmm. It was all the time. I mean, a history lesson. Do you remember that dress I had to make for you for Elizabethans?
Yeah.
So instead of writing, which, you know, Helen got a bit allergic to at that age, she would.
Writing's really hard.
Yeah. So she said, film me, mummy, film me. So I had to make her.
That was also me and Tori Ratcliffe.
It was Tori Ratcliffe. Had to make her an Elizabethan dress.
Yeah.
I had to write and apologise to a history teacher that I had put a zip in because I couldn't manage it without a zip.
Mrs. McGrady?
Why?
Who gave me a certificate of merit for
you
that.
You did. You got a certificate. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have lip.
No. So we had to have it, like, on point.
Oh,
and instead of writing an essay, I made a video.
Yeah, you and Tori made a wonderful video explaining how bum rolls worked. And
we poured flash down a sink to show it was urine. I don't really remember why, though.
What? Show bum roll?
It's like, so they'd wear it. See, this is amazing. If you learn through a visual and auditory medium, it's more likely to stick with you.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic learning. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, crushed it.
Yeah.
And a bum...
Because you're either visual, auditory, or kinesthetic.
Exactly. And I was kinesthetic.
What are you?
Both. I think I'm kinesthetic as well.
Yeah, it's the best one.
Ambitious.
No, because that's creepy, because that means you just see something and remember it.
Yeah.
Then you can't twist it in your head to make you come out better of it. It's weird.
But because I can't write, I got, like, more like a photographic memory. Like,
palsy does have its upsides,
doesn't it? Yeah. Everyone should try the palsy.
Just once. At least once, give it a go.
Once in your goddamn life. You try a bit of the palsy.
Do you want to know what a bum roll is?
Yeah.
You know how they had those dresses? That is so bad for a podcast. But I'm putting my hands on my hips and then the dress would flow out into the background and they'd have a big roll of material on the top of their bum.
Yeah.
So it would look bigger.
I think you got that wrong, Helen.
Sorry, oh, fuck off. What is it?
Well, it went all the way around the waist, didn't it, to make the thing? Because the one you're talking about is a bustle. See, I'm attention-seeking too.
Same.
I have to put my daughter
oh,
right.
Oh, don't say attention-seeking after doing a little thing like that. Attention-seeking is you pretending to faint.
Oh, yeah, that
and
was
trying good. And, like, doing something to help me out at school and then asking for a letter of commendation.
Yeah, that was right.
Like, that's attention-seeking.
That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. That was good.
I was talking on a podcast yesterday about...
What?
This podcast? Our podcast? Oh, my God. This is how jealous you are.
Whoa.
If I go on another podcast, it's like,
I would have flipped.
You know, I did go on Why Is Harriet Crying?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that because you warned me.
Okay.
Whereas that, I was like, you fucking what? Like.
I'm sorry, I was talking on this podcast.
I went on that podcast last week.
Whose podcast?
Shelby Higgins.
My pod.
Yeah.
It's a really good podcast.
Really good.
Congratulations.
We're recording a part two in Edinburgh.
I look forward to listening to that. Sophie, can I please come on your podcast? She's not listening.
Yeah.
If you are, can you tweet me so I feel special? Thank you, Sophie. She thinks I'm a stalker. I was going to say, Mrs. Wright. So I remember a parents' evening you came to, and Mrs. Knowles, my textiles teacher.
Yes.
We had a fight with her, didn't we?
Well,
did I have a fight?
You both had an argument, and it was really getting quite heated.
She's a moron.
How old were you?
15.
15.
Yeah, fine.
And I think Helen was, you know, had some good points.
Thank you.
but I felt this wasn't the place for an argument, so I had to stand between my daughter and the teacher and say, do you really think we ought to be arguing here now?
No.
So, you know, we had to stop.
Oh, my memory of it, we were both fighting with her.
I think I might. Well, maybe I did.
Maybe
I don't
you
know.
Did yell at her.
But
I remember that parents' evening because you also met the drama teacher face to face.
Oh, yes.
The one who did not like me.
We talk about her.
Yeah, because I genuinely think one of the most defining moments in my life was not being in the school play in year 11. It's made me who I am today. Like, it was such a ruining moment. Do you remember this?
I do. I sometimes think it was my fault for running this drama school.
Yeah.
I think it was quite difficult. Really?
Do you think she felt threatened?
She hated the Ambauer School of Drama, definitely.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it's not like Bible, but...
I have no idea what happened, but she did not like me from the moment I started school. And then all I can assume is that there were some students who had come in the years before who were like, that's not what we got taught by Anne. That's not what Anne taught us. And it's a small town, right?
Yeah.
And she might have had a couple of moments of like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we're teaching drama from scratch here and you've been doing it. I don't know. I'm just assuming. Or, to be honest with you, she's just a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Which she really was. Like, she was a nasty teacher.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I only met her once or twice.
She's not going to listen to this. Let loose.
I only met her once or twice, but the time I did meet her was to go and hire a hall.
Yeah.
And she pretended like she didn't know who I was, my name or anything. And I know she was, it was a bit...
Yeah.
It was a bit embarrassing.
Embarrassing woman.
But never mind. Water under the bridge, Helen.
But do you... I'm not over it. Do you think I should have been in the school play in year 11?
Well, I always thought my daughter should be in every school play because I thought my daughter was brilliant.
Oh!
Yeah. I can remember you having to go to Oxfam and buy you a man's suit for a play when you were 11.
Big Al,
that was it, yeah. And then you did the sexy woman in the Dario Fo play. That was brilliant.
I played a whore.
Yeah.
No.
Yep, I played a mistress.
Make a good talk.
I was actually.
She was brilliant.
Sexy mistress.
Yeah, she was.
And I would. I was in like year 9, and I whispered into this boy's ear who was in year 11. And now looking at the footage, I'm like, you got a boner. You're welcome. Like I was hot. I was a hot. I was a fuckable teenager.
Reckon in like coup d'etat, she would have been the mistress.
Why wouldn't I have been at someone?
Of the king.
I would have been more in Tudor times. Don't you think? I would have been in vying to be like Henry VIII's wife.
Yeah.
Or I'd have been like a wench.
Yeah.
I feel like the wenches had the bigger tits, right? I'd have been a wench.
Yeah.
I'd have been a wet nurse.
Yes. But the king occasionally slips you one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the king would put his penis in my vagina?
Yeah.
It's nice to think about, isn't it?
What would I be?
I don't know. What do they do to disabled people in the Tudor times?
Kill them.
Yeah, I'd probably be dead, drowned as a baby, you know?
Yeah.
I would have fed you from my nipples, though.
Leave them outside. Leave them outside and hope for a cold winter.
No! Do they actually do that with like disabled babies in Tudor times?
Yeah.
Fuck off. I would have smuggled you in between my breasts.
Can I just come in here a moment?
Yes.
It would have been depended on how old you are. Because when you were at 15 or 16, you were rabidly, fascistly right wing.
Me?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
What the fuck? Where did that come from?
I'm just telling you.
Where did
as
that
it
come
is.
From?
If you were 15
15 or 16 would have been,
kill him, get rid of him.
Why was I 15 or 16?
Yeah.
Why was I right wing?
Well, you just were. You had no sympathy for anybody.
Like, oh my God.
What would she do?
She'd watch the news and she'd be on the side of the right wing people. And
when the fuck was I watching the news at 15?
You did. You used to make comments. Well, they should be got rid of. They shouldn't be doing this.
I'm going to need an example because I'm going to fight this to my dying day. I wasn't right. When did I ever say the phrase, kill the disabled babies?
No, you didn't say kill the disabled babies, but you'd say, well, it's their own fault.
Oh,
for disabled people?
Oh. You had a 2-year, 18-month kind of phase.
That is a long time.
Don't forget, you were brought up in Fleet, Ellen. So just for 2 years, that's not bad.
I'm not blaming Fleet. I'm blaming you. You raised a little conservative.
I tried not to.
Two years is a long time to be a fascist.
It's a really long time to be a fascist. Are you sure it wasn't rebellion against you?
I think it probably was.
Because you have, like, she had a fucking chair in her car to go up to protests, like a protest chair.
Good.
You were so happy when Ted got arrested for protesting. Like, you wanted liberal fuckwit babies. So maybe I was rebelling by being like, burn the foreigners.
I think you probably were rebelling, darling.
Fuck. Oh, I rebelled by being a conservative.
God.
Why don't I remember that at all?
I think you never knew about the trauma. You let blanket out.
But I remember putting my vagina on the corner of tables and lessons.
Yeah,
and that's a trauma.
But it's a lot worse being a fascist.
Can we stop saying I was a fascist?
Well, it was only a phase, but I think you were kind of getting back at me, Helen.
You're welcome.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother,
yes.
Can you please tell me just a little story of an ultimate attention-seeking moment I did?
An ultimate attention-seeking moment? You had so many, darling, I don't know where to start.
Well, just give us a list then.
At what age?
Any age. I mean, seeing as I was born.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of your moments when you were naked.
Thank you.
And we had to get all three of you dressed because you'd been in the sea. So we were attending, so we have three children, you know, mm-hmm. so we can't do everybody at once.
Mm-hmm.
So you ran around flinging your knickers in the air.
Cute.
Chasing.
Only 16 years old.
Uncle. A little younger. Chasing your Uncle David with your knickers, saying, Uncle David's going to put my knickers on.
Oh my God!
Yes, I'm afraid you did, darling. Yes.
Oh my God, I explained so much.
Do you say that to Uncle David now?
God, no. No, I do not say that to Uncle David now.
And what about your 15th birthday party with the marquee in the back garden?
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
18.
No, 15. When you had all the people bringing in booze.
Yeah.
See, now, I'm a teacher.
Okay, no, this was Halloween. Sorry. This was a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Was it not?
No, it was your birthday party.
Good Lord.
That you shared with Hannah.
Yes.
And it was the first one.
Shout out to Hannah Cohen.
You were 15 and they were all bringing booze in. So, and they were being sick and ill and all the rest of it.
A lot of vomit.
And yeah. Being a teacher and sort of running a drama school, you've got to be trusted, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I was going around collecting all the drinks and putting it on the table inside and saying,
mortifying as a teenager,
if you want your drinks, your parents can come and pick them up at the end of the party.
Oh, that was awful. I was so upset.
And, of course, no parent came to pick up any booze. I don't know whether it was the parents that were frightened of me or the Helen's friends.
Parents.
But attention-seeking was nothing on this. Helen was storming around through the party. How dare you? What are you doing? You're ruining my life. You're ruining my party.
Oh, right. I was definitely and very good at you ruin my life, teenager.
Yes. And then, I mean, it must have been a good 3 or 4 weeks when I was given the silent treatment after that, you know.
That's a good amount of time for me.
It lasted a long time, and she never forgot it. So the next year, for her 16th birthday party, the marquee was transposed to Hannah's house.
And there was a fight, and then the police got involved.
And I wasn't there. Were you in there?
No, I missed it. It was so upsetting. No.
And I wasn't allowed to go to police it.
No.
This girl remembered from the year before.
And then I think I had another party after that. And God, I was so good at getting my own way.
And then you
insisted on having everyone's name who was attending the party and their parents' phone number.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got that list from me.
Yes.
Are you aware that most of those numbers I made up myself?
No.
Surprise! No. I can't ask there's like 60 kids. I can't be like what's your parents' phone number? What's to call them? Oh my God, if you look at it, if you found it, you'd be so impressed at like how many of them are just like 1111111 01252111121.
Well, clearly I didn't have to phone anybody that time.
You're welcome. That's why we figured out you put like vodka in Coke bottles. Like we got smarter.
Yeah.
We weren't walking around with like bottles of vodka.
Yeah.
We were fine. This is the thing. I know everyone says this about their friendship group, but we were such a good, responsible group of teenagers, and I know everyone thinks that, but we were such goody two shoes.
You all looked after each other. It has to be said.
Yeah, we were good kids.
Yeah.
I remember once having to call up Chris Beck's parents and be like, "Can you come get Chris? He's taken it too far," and like took him back to his, and then they had to take him to hospital. And I was like, "I am so responsible. I really wanted everyone's parents to love me.
Yeah.
It mattered so
did
much."
They?
Yes.
I think in general they did. I think when I was younger, a lot of them were like, "She's too much." I got sent out of a lot of sleepovers to go sleep in separate rooms.
Yeah. Emma
Black's,
you got sent away and you weren't invited the next year.
Was I not?
I love how you talk about sex a bit more.
I didn't want to be this way.
Have you always done that?
She, once when we were in a car together, she told me the best sex I'd ever had would be with a gay man, which still doesn't make sense to me. She had sex with the man who used to play Mr. Muscle in the adverts.
No, I didn't. No,
bullshit.
I didn't. I promise you, that is wrong.
Okay,
that is wrong.
No. Something got Mr. Muscle.
No, you got it. You got that bit muddled up. Yeah, definitely got that muddled up.
Do you want to explain yourself?
Yeah, this is really hard. Mr. Muscle was
my real father. That would be amazing.
Was the partner of somebody at the Polka Theatre when I was working there as a kind of a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all. And I think I said to you, "See that man there? I sort of met him once or twice."
Oh, and I just assumed you fucked him.
But no, I did have a boyfriend who went off with a man.
Which was Mr. Muscle.
No, it wasn't Mr. Muscle.
No, but we have that in common because you fall in love with a lot of gay men and I fall in love with a lot of gay men. Like my first two boys I really loved and fancied and both asked out, both are gay. Yeah.
The first person I ever kissed was a gay man.
And then he was the one that told you that you were gay as well, and you were like, "No." And then years later, you were like, "Fuck yeah, he's right." But you also, didn't you make out with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No, I had a kiss with him in an improvisation.
At the Ambauer School of Drama?
No. It was a woman called Sylvia who also ran a drama school in Wimbledon.
Gross.
And it was before you were born. I think it was before I got together with your dad. And we were having a like...
the happy days.
I got you three children, Helen. I say piously. There were... I've lost my track. Yeah, we were doing some improvisation games and he was there. It was before he made his name. And during the improvisation, had a kiss.
But you do talk very freely about sex. I think.
Do
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Oh. And I like
well, it's enjoyable,
that.
Helen.
It's yeah. very precious.
But you've definitely never not made me feel... But then again, I talk very freely with sex with yeah. everyone, but I must have yeah. got that from you. Yeah. I know baby is naturally like,
yeah.
this feels good when I touch this. Like, yeah. Yeah. I was
she,
definitely...
I'm closer to my mum, but we will never talk about it.
I think it's because my mum would never talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe
either.
You over went for it. yeah. You were like, oh, well, she's not going to discuss sex with me. I'll discuss it with my daughter. I'm 4 years yeah. old. That's called rubbing your clit, sweetheart. Wash your hands. Do what you want.
Carry on, you little fat shit.
Yeah, exactly. Look at my little fascist. Look at her wanking away. We can talk about anything, me and my girl.
But I was a hippie. So, I mean, hippies did that yeah. kind of
thing. Don't think you were a hippie.
Freedom.
You still are a hippie. You tried yeah. to like suggest that we go to the Glastonbury Women's Temple together recently to go praise our bodies or something.
Oh yeah, but that was really good fun.
Yeah, I'm not doing that with you. Not so long as you're
Why?
So much thinner than me. Because you think that we're going. I think that you suggested that we go to the Glastonbury Women's Temple
yeah.
so that we can celebrate
Goddess
women's
Temple.
Goddess Temple, my yeah. bad, to celebrate all women's bodies. But I yeah. feel like you want to go because at the moment you're very, very slender and you want me to see how thin you are. That's why I've got it in my head. Like, let's celebrate all bodies of women. Oh, but look at me. Oh my God, look at my ass. Like,
what do you
I have
think?
No ass, Helen.
You have
Sadly.
No ass.
No, I'm afraid it's just flat.
No, I'm flat-bottomed as well.
Well, you say your tits are in great condition.
Yeah, my tits are amazing.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, but we've all got, all the women in our family have got great tits.
Well, mine are going south now.
Don't you say that, Anne. They're gorgeous.
Well, they're upholstered.
You hook them up. But like me and my sister, my mum, we've all got like cracking wabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, right, so can we just yeah. conclude that I was a cute child, a bit attention seeking, but in general,
a lot.
Fun.
A lot.
A lot. But like,
but
it only
gorgeous.
In a healthy way.
And
you
well.
Were an attention seeking, wanking fascist.
But can we just. You've got it, Rosie, no, you've got it. Can we just agree that I was attention seeking because I was raised. Inside
no.
of a drama school with a very liberal mother, so I didn't have many options. I was in a conservative town being raised by a woman who was talking about her flashbacks of the Titanic.
Yeah.
So were you on the Titanic?
I can't... Well, I might have been because I died, didn't I? I've always got this fear of ships underwater. I can't stand them.
Ah.
And I don't like swimming underwater. And...
I just don't know how, when Titanic came out, you leapt to the conclusion that you were on it.
Because I couldn't bear to watch it. I couldn't. I can't. I can't
because
watch
of the
it.
Memories.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're hidden somewhere.
But then how did you jump from that to telling me that I was in the trenches?
Because you were so scared of the trenches. I said, you must have been there then, Helen.
Maybe you drowned.
Well, I think I might have jumped
how
off the ship.
How are you going along with this?
I think I might have done. Because,
oh,
you see, I
really?
Have this big fear of heights as well that... make pains go up and down my legs. Really bad.
Rosie, you're actually encouraging this behaviour.
Yeah. I bet you were one of them people who jumped off, but you...
She wasn't on it!
No, I think I might
you
have been.
Hit like a propeller and died.
Oh, yeah, I could have got mashed up, couldn't
yeah.
I?
Right. Daddy?
Daddy.
Do you want to be both of our daddies for the sake of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm always your daddy.
You're always my daddy.
So, at the end of a check, I am your daddy. And that's your daddy.
Call her daddy, mum, please.
Daddy.
Thank you.
Hello, daddy.
I really like
that. Don't do that to my mum! Go.
I love that. And we're going to all go out together, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put right a lot of anger.
What anger? I've got a lot of anger, you're right. What are we going to put right, Rosie?
We're going to seek out your teachers.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're going to hit them.
I'm totally okay with that.
And then we'll go on a quick detour to the science lab.
Ooh. So I can rest my vagina and get some pleasure. Yes.
And then we can all take a table corner. Jack can have a fourth corner.
Jack, don't cover your eyes. Look at us and respect
and
us, please.
And
can
do something with his bum out.
No, but little boys love to, like, grab onto things and sort of gyrate.
Yeah.
Like, against you.
Maybe
I was a babysitter.
Maybe he can do something with a test tube.
Like put your little penis in a test tube? No, it's not, is it? A beaker. A nice long beaker.
A big beaker.
Wait, so what you're doing for my special daddy day with my mum is you're taking us both to have a sexual experience in a science lab together. How about you take us to a safe space where we can talk about our feelings?
No.
And about our past lives.
Well, we're going to do that the next 2 days, darling.
Oh, we are. Don't remind me.
What?
We're leaving tomorrow to have a 2-day mother-daughter bonding experience, which I can only assume will be both of us crying whilst talking about Ladybird.
Oh, my God.
And listening to Joni Mitchell and being like, no, but I had a worse relationship with my mum. No, I had a worse relationship with my mum.
Well, listen to Leonard Cohen instead, darling.
Oh, fuck, I can't handle it. You know I can't handle it. It's too sincere.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Somewhere with no signal, probably. In Sussex. Where are we going?
I don't know. It's somewhere near the coast.
Yes, yeah, the coastline.
I'll find out when I've looked on the internet. It's somewhere where I can take you to Hastings on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Yes. Oh, I'm doing Hastings Festival.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I love it.
I'm in Edinburgh.
Oh, what are you doing?
Gilded Pillar.
Oh, I love that gig. Yeah. It's a good weekend.
So I'm headlining on Friday, Saturday and doing a preview Sunday.
That's a good 3 days. Yeah. Lovely stuff. And also just a lovely city to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do Edinburgh, I'll do Hastings.
Hastings is lovely. Nice place.
I know, but like, yeah, no shade on Hastings. I do like Hastings.
Go to a grocer's called Hill and Coulter.
Why?
They're great.
Okay.
They're my brother's best friend, and I do like their job, organic fruit.
I'll go there. I eat bananas for my show.
Yeah, they make their own like chutneys and everything. It's
text
so
me the
amazing.
Name. Are we ready to wrap up this episode? Because I feel like I've been through enough already.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was a privilege and a pleasure.
I'm still yet to know how I feel about it. Because I felt like I was going to come across better from this.
No, my favourite moment was when it was revealed that you were a fascist.
We may cut that out.
No.
I have not decided yet what I'm not happy
Jack,
with.
Can we keep the fascism section?
It was just a phase.
Just a phase, you're not a fascist now.
I do think some things. I do have some opinions, which I'm aware aren't like... super popular.
Oh, Helen.
No, I don't. I'm liberal. I'm fucking liberal.
No, I was moving on.
Okay.
Helen.
Yeah.
This is the end.
Of the season.
Of the season.
This is so emotional.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you for coming on, Mum, and seeing us out at the end of our first season.
Shall we do a second season?
Jackie?
Are we allowed to do a second season?
Think of all the hours you get to spend with us.
Yeah, well, I did.
Yay! Tune in some undisclosed time to listen to Daddy Look At Me season 2. That was a really professional sign off, right? The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow is gonna turn off. It's gonna turn off. There'll be some.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hi, Mum, it's Helen. Exciting that your episode came out. Yay! I hope that we can work through everything that you said and I said and that it doesn't become one of those Helen Ann little chat things. Who? Mother daughters. Bloody hell, what a relationship. But you're the end of season one. That's very exciting. And just as like a cheeky little, like, if you enjoyed it and you'd like to tell people about it and you and maybe other listeners that you know of could maybe give us a little rate and a subscribe and 5 stars on iTunes. That would be amazing. I'll see you at Christmas. All the best now. Bye.
Deleted.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.